This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
A new book on Trump is mostly false by most people who've read it and have looked into it, although George Stephanopoulos calls it hashtag basically true, which is now trending on Twitter. Eight times the liberal media screwed up on Trump-Russia in 2017, and Larry Krasner at the Purge at the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. Welcome back. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday. This is a live show, not a rerun. It's 2018, the first Friday of 2018, and I'm here. All right. Eight times the liberal media screwed up on Trump-Russia in 2017. Number one, CNN's botched WikiLeaks email exclusive. This is courtesy of our friends at Newsbusters. On December 8th, CNN published an early morning story by correspondents Manu Raju and Jeremy Erb claiming Trump's campaign team received an email from WikiLeaks on September 4th, 2016 with a decryption key and a website address for hacked WikiLeaks documents that would not be publicly revealed until September 13th. Was this finally some proof of collusion that anti-Trump media have been searching for? That morning and into the afternoon, all of CNN's programs proudly touted their breaking news banner with a CNN exclusive that read the following. Quote, emails reveal effort to give Trump campaign WikiLeaks documents. Turned out the email actually went out on September 14, 2016, after the information was available to anyone. That afternoon, after hours of breathless hype, CNN issued an on-air correction by Raju. The reporters, however, faced no disciplinary action because, according to a spokeswoman, they followed the editorial standards process. Number two, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal blunder on bank subpoenas. On December 5th, Bloomberg and other financial media claimed Robert Mueller had issued a subpoena to Deutsche Bank, which zeroed in on President Trump personally. That story was false, and they had to backpedal. Number three, Brian Ross's biggest blunder during a live special report coverage on December 1st. Former ABC News chief investigative reporter Brian Ross made the jaw-dropping claim that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn would testify that during the 2016 campaign, then-candidate Donald Trump had ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians. However, it actually turned out to be when the president-elect had him make contact with the Russians, not candidate. Number four, Comey nukes the New York Times. On February 14th, a bombshell New York Times story reported that phone records and intercepted calls show that members of Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and other Trump associates had repeated contacts with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the election, and particularly around the time of the DNC email hacking. Was this true? At a June 8th hearing, Republican Senator Jim Risch of Idaho asked former FBI Director James Comey directly about the story and whether it's a fair statement to declare the piece to be not true. Comey responded that it was not true. Yet the New York Times did not withdraw its claim, noting only in its write-up that Mr. Comey did not say exactly what he believed was incorrect about the article. Number five, ABC and CNN's phony predictions. They predicted that Comey would specifically dispute President Trump's statement that Comey told the president on three separate occasions that I'm not under investigation. Both CNN and ABC updated their web stories, but ABC never told viewers that its reporting was flawed. ABC, of course, is home to unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, who has given us today the hashtag mostly true. So, yes, basically true. Thank you, Greg. Yes, basically true. According to the source, ABC's Jonathan Carl said that Comey will dispute that President Trump was not under investigation. It was not true. Number six, CNN's Scaramucci fiasco. On June 22nd, a story posted on CNN.com claimed the Senate Intelligence Committee was investigating the head of a massive Russian investment fund who met with the mooch before Inauguration Day. The story speculated that the two might have discussed the new administration lifting Russian sanctions, a tidbit that, if true, would have potentially big financial benefits to the investment fund. The story quickly fell apart as it cited a single anonymous source. By the next day, Visitors to CNN's webpage found a giant editor's note explaining that the story did not meet CNN's editorial standards and has been retracted. CNN apologized to Mr. Scaramucci. In the event of that embarrassing episode, the CNN reporter Thomas Frank, along with assistant managing editor Eric Lichtblau and investigative reporting editor Lex Harris, resigned on June 26. Number seven, MSNBC misleads on Trump, quote, easing sanctions on Russia. NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander sent the media into a frenzy on February 2nd when he tweeted breaking news that the U.S. Treasury Department announced it would, in his words, allow some companies to do transactions with Russia's FSB, the former KGB. He then phoned into MSNBC, where the screaming headline claimed the new administration was easing U.S. sanctions on Russia. As Washington Examiner columnist Beckett Adams chronicled, Alexander's report triggered a media freakout. Mother Jones' David Corn tweeted that it was a reward for Russia's plot to subvert the 2016 election, while The Atlantic's David Frum instantly insisted it was proof that an independent commission was needed to investigate Russia's role in the election. Except sanctions weren't being eased. It was only a technical fix planned under President Obama to avoid any unintended consequences of cyber sanctions. As Alexander noted in a follow-up tweet later in the day, oops. And finally, number eight, in the eight times the media's biggest screw-ups on Russia, the eight biggest screw-ups on the media's reporting on Russia and Trump, four does not equal 17. The media love to tweak Trump by repeating how the evidence proving Russia meddling in the election was the unanimous verdict of U.S. intelligence. Quote, all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies have agreed Russia was behind the hack of Democratic email systems and tried to influence the 2016 election to benefit Trump. That was noted by the Associated Press on June 22nd. 3 days later, the New York Times published a piece that scolded Trump because he still refuses to acknowledge a basic fact agreed upon by 17 American intelligence agencies that he now oversees, that Russia orchestrated the attacks. These media talking points were used by journalists such as NBC's Andrea Mitchell to speculate about the president's mental health, as she did in MSNBC's Morning Joe on June 30th when she said, quote, I am certainly not a doctor, but I worry about him not having acknowledged the depth of the Russian hacking. We have 17 intelligence agencies, all in accord, a rare degree of agreement with a high consensus that it was Putin who ordered this. But both the Times and the Associated Press eventually backpedaled on those hype claims, admitting that only three agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, had reviewed the intelligence, which then issued a fourth, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. The Times corrected first on June 29th, admitting the assessment was not approved by all 17 organizations in the American intelligence community. The next day, the AP issued a correction that encompassed four separate articles. In stories published, this is great, quote, in stories published April 6th, June 2nd, June 26th, June 29th, the Associated Press reported that 17 U.S. intelligence agencies have agreed that Russia tried to influence the 2016 election to benefit Donald Trump, dot, dot, dot. Not all 17 intelligence agencies were involved in reaching the assessment, end quote. Meanwhile, the media's misreporting remains ubiquitous online, such as this USA Today story from October 2016, with the arrogantly false headline, quote, yes, 17 intelligence agencies really did say Russia was behind the hacking. No, they didn't. Eight times the liberal media screwed up on Trump-Russia in 2017. Which brings us to a new book that's out about Donald Trump called Fire and Fury. Now, I listened to about 2 hours of it today on my way up to the Hershey Lodge because somebody gave it to me as a gag gift and on audible.com. So I listened to it. I wasn't going to pay for it, but I'm happy to listen to it if you gave it to me. And here's what I can tell you. This book is actually self-help. If you're somebody who can't accept the election, if you're somebody who really has put all your hope on Russia collusion and Trump getting impeached, and you realize now that that's all vanishing in front of your eyes, you got to get through the day. You know, you need hope. You got to keep hope alive, and you keep hope alive with the 25, as in the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Keep hope alive with the 25. Hashtag keep hope alive with the 25. which is the idea that at any moment they're going to ring a bell and Mike Pence is going to charge into the room and the cabinet, they're all going to declare Trump is nuts and they're going to kick the guy out of the White House. Of course, to the American left, I'm sure they'd be more terrified with Mike Pence there, but that's for another show. But that's the hope they got to keep in mind, that Trump is out of his mind. He's lost it. He's lost his marbles. He's losing his marbles. And he's just basically a crazy person. That's why this book, Fire and Fury, has been written. It is, as somebody put it on Twitter today, one of our fans, it is the chicken soup for the Trump hater soul. It gives you the hope to get through the day believing that, yes, he's a mental patient. And yes, it's only a matter of time till they all declare him crazy, throw a giant net around him, and then just drag him off into the room, the padded walls with the giant red crayon. It's farcical, actually, the way they've created a caricature of the President of the United States. As I listened to it today, I thought, it's almost as if he begins as the Alec Baldwin caricature of himself. There's no mention of him as a successful entrepreneur. There's no mention of him as a guy who's built a business, a career, golf courses, hotels, international corporations, none of that, employed people, made money. It's just a crazy man who decides he wants to be president but doesn't really want to be president, doesn't really want to run for president but then runs for president. Nobody around him thinks he can win, yet they all engage in this crusade to get him elected. They apparently collude with the Russians to get him elected, even though no one wants him to win, even though they don't think he can win. It's just pure craziness. And even Maggie Haberman from the New York Times today went on to one of the dopey shows. Oh, this is the CNN Good Day with the lesser Cuomo, Chris Cuomo. He is the lesser of the two brothers, Andrew being, of course, the governor of New York, and Chris being the lesser of the two brothers because he hosts CNN's Good Day. And this is Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, the failing New York Times, not exactly a pro-Trump publication. This is her commenting on how many times the book got it wrong, just how wrong this new book, Fire and Fury, got it. Take a listen.
You are a reporter with great sources in the White House and great access. So when you read Michael Wolff's book, do you believe it?
I believe parts of it, and then there are other parts that are factually wrong. I mean, the thing about Michael Wolff and his style, which apparently nobody in the White House appears to have done a cursory Google search on him and sort of what his MO is, but he believes he deals in larger truths and narratives. So he creates a narrative that is notionally true, that conceptually true. The details are often wrong, and I can see several places in the book that are wrong.
Such as? I mean, do you have any examples?
So, for instance, I mean, he inaccurately describes a report in the New York Times. He inaccurately characterizes a couple of incidents that took place early on in the administration. He gets basic details wrong.
He inaccurately reported that we reported the substance of the dossier?
Correct. He described in the book Rupert Murdoch's quote, an expletive idiot about Trump, and then in his own column a day later it was expletive moron. So
see, that's sloppy.
Right.
The stuff about the CNN dossier, that is public knowledge. The CNN didn't publish the dossier. He says they did. That's one fact check away from getting it right, but he doesn't do it.
He doesn't do it, and he also doesn't care. I mean, Michael Wolff and Donald Trump are not dissimilar people, right? I mean, there is a reason they knew each other before the president became the president. Wolff privately refers to him as Donald, not Trump or the president, and so forth. There is some kind of a similar style there.
Well, the president says, "I don't know the guy. I never let him in. I never talked to him." That's not 100% true, and certainly shame on his team then for letting Wolf get the access.
No, it's more than not 100% true. It's a lot false. What they're hanging it on is this thing of they are frustrated, and I understand why, that Wolf is overstating the access he had to the president.
Okay, very good. Now, that's from the Lesser Cuomo show this morning. But there's a whole lot of other audio here today, and it's really good for you to hear lots of it, because what I want you to understand about this book is that this guy who wrote it, he is a provocateur. This book is not a serious journalistic inquisition. This book had a mission. It had an agenda. It had a purpose. And it's very entertaining. It's just not very accurate. But if you are someone who needs hope, this is your chicken soup for the Trump hater soul. This is your way of getting through it. This is a self-help book for you. And if it helps you get through it, if it helps you keep hope alive with the 25, then by all means, rush out and get a copy of it.
Rizzioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.